Who's forcing you?
You know who, dearest, said Amanda. You know. You're even helping him.
It's Randolph. He's taking you away from me.
Yes, Amanda said, her eyes pleading with him to help her, to save her. And then the damn phone woke him up. He sat up in his bed, blazingly angry.
Phone, he called out. On the art screen.
A reproduction of the Picasso Cubist nude disappeared to reveal the somber face of the security chief.
Sorry to wake you, sir, the man said, but you said you wanted to be personally informed of Ms. Cunningham's movements.
With a glance at the digital clock on the nightstand, Humphreys demanded, Where's she going at 4 in the frigging morning?
She's apparently asleep in her room, sir, but...
Then what are you bothering me for? Humphreys bellowed. The security man swallowed visibly.
Sir, her name has just appeared on a flight manifest.
Flight manifest?
Yes, sir. She and 3 other people are scheduled to go to the Star Power ship up in orbit.
Now? Today?
Scheduled for 8 this morning, sir.
4 hours from now, Humphreys realized.
And this flight manifest just came up on the launch schedule?
About an hour ago, sir.
Why are they going to Star Power 1? Humphreys wondered aloud.
That vessel is scheduled for launch on a test flight at 9 o'clock, sir.
I know that, Humphreys snapped. It's an unmanned long-duration flight.
Well, perhaps they're going up for a last-minute checkout before the ship is launched out of orbit.
3 other people going with her, you say?
Who are they?
The security chief read off the names. P. Lane, command pilot. L. Fuchs, mission scientist. And C. N. Barnard, flight surgeon.
I know Lane, Humphreys said. Who are the other two?
Fuchs is a graduate student from Zurich Polytechnical Institute. He just arrived in Cellini a few days ago. Barnard is apparently a medic of some sort.
Apparently?
Looking uncomfortable, the security chief replied, He's an Astro employee. We have no background data on Barnard, sir. No ID photo either. All that we've been able to pull up from Astro's files are his name, his position, and his fingerprints and retinal scan.
Dan Randolph, Humphreys growled.
It's an alias for Randolph.
Sir?
Check those prints and retinal scan against Dan Randolph's file.
Yes, sir.
And send a couple of men to Amanda Cunningham's quarters. Bring her here to me.
Right away, sir.
The wall screen went blank for an instant. Then the Picasso image reappeared. Humphreys paid no attention. He leaped out of bed, snarling aloud. That fucking Randolph thinks he's going to zip off to the belt and take Amanda with him. Like hell he will.
Dan was already up and dressed in a white flight suit, the kind of coveralls worn by members of Cellini's medical staff. C.N. Barnard was one of the extra identities he had stored in Astro's personnel files, a hangover from the days when he'd been up to his armpits in international skullduggery. He still had modest bank accounts scattered here and there on Earth under various aliases, just in case he ever needed to disappear for a while. He grinned to himself as he started for the tunnel that led to the spaceport. I'm going to disappear for a while, all right. Completely out of the Earth-Moon system, past Mars, out to the asteroid belt. The IAA will go apeshit when they find out we're on board Star Power 1. Humphreys will have a fit. And Astro's stock ought to shoot up when we claim mining rights to a nice, rich asteroid or 3. The lawyers may squabble over the details, but a few $1 billion worth of high-grade ores will start a feeding frenzy among the brokers. And the publicity will help, too. His grin disappeared as he reached the entrance to the tunnel. An electric cart sat waiting to take him to the spaceport, but neither Poncho nor Amanda was in sight. Damn it all to hell and back, Dan fumed. They were supposed to meet me here at 5 sharp. Women.
Come on, Nandy. Poncho urged. Dan's probably waiting for us already.
One moment, Amanda said from the lav. I've just got to...
Somebody pounded impatiently on the door.
Oh, hell, Poncho said.
Amanda came out of the lavatory.
I'm ready, Poncho. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Poncho opened the door. Instead of Dan Randolph, 2 strangers stood out in the corridor. Both were men, wearing identical dark gray business suits. One with long blonde hair and a nice full mustache. the other a taller, darker man with military crew cut. Both were big-shouldered and stone-faced. They looked like cops to Pancho. Shit, Pancho thought. They know I hacked into the flight schedule. But the blonde said, Amanda Cunningham, come with us, please. Pancho hiked a thumb over her shoulder. That's her, and she's not going anywhere with you. We're late for work already. They pushed past Pancho and entered the room. You'll have to come with us, Ms. Cunningham, the blonde said. Why? On whose authority? Mr. Humphreys wants to see you, the buzz cut said. His partner frowned at him. Pancho said, Now, wait a minute. Don't interfere, the blonde said sharply. Our orders are to bring Miss Cunningham to Mr. Humphreys' residence. That's what we're going to do. Call security, Mandy, Pancho said. These guys are working for Humphreys. Amanda started around the bed to the phone on the night table between their two beds, but the blonde moved faster and blocked her way. We don't want to get physical, he said to Amanda, but we've got a job to do, and we're going to do it. How rough we get depends on you, said the darker man, grinning at Amanda. She stared at them, wide-eyed, somewhere between confusion and terror. The blonde took another step toward Amanda. Come along now, honey. We don't want to hurt anybody. Mandy stumbled back, away from him. Pancho saw that both men were focused on her. She swiftly bent down and peeled Ellie from her ankle. Here, wise ass, Pancho said as she hurled a bright blue snake at the blonde. He turned just fast enough to see the crate sailing in lunar slow motion toward his face. Instinctively, he raised an arm to shield himself. What the hell? Ellie bounced off the guy's arm and fell to the floor. She reared up, spreading her hood and hissing angrily. Jesus Christ, what is it? The buzz cut was tugging at something inside his jacket. Pancho chopped at the back of his neck and he sagged to the floor. Ellie slithered toward him. The blonde seemed frozen with fright, staring at the snake. Pancho gestured to Amanda, who stepped past the goggled-eyed blonde and came to her side. The guy on the floor pushed himself up on one elbow and saw the snake rearing a bare 10 centimeters in front of his face, its hood spread wide, its beady eyes staring at him. Oh, he moaned. The blonde pulled a small pistol from the holster beneath his jacket. Pancho saw that his hand was shaking badly. Loud noises annoy her, she said. Just be quiet and don't move. The blonde glanced at her, then returned his stare to the snake. The buzz cut was sweating as Ellie stood before him, her tongue flicking in and out.
Do something,
he whispered hoarsely. Better drop your gun on the bed, Pancho said to the blonde. If you shoot and miss her, she'll bite him for sure. The blonde tossed the gun onto the bed. Get it out of here, he pleaded. Pancho started to lean forward, slowly, carefully, bending toward Ellie. But the buzzcut's nerve broke. He swung blindly at the snake and tried to scramble to his feet. Ellie sank her fangs into the meaty side of his hand. He screamed and sagged back to the floor, unconscious. Pancho bent over and scooped Ellie up, careful to hold her so the crate couldn't twist and bite her. He'll be dead in an hour, unless you get the anti-serum into him, Pancho said quickly. The blonde stared at his partner helplessly. Take him to the hospital, Pancho shouted. She headed for her travel bag, still on her bed, next to the blonde's discarded gun. Still holding Ellie, she rummaged in the bag until she found the vial of anti-serum and tossed it to the blonde. Get him to the hospital, now! Tell him what happened and give him this. It's the anti-serum. Then she grabbed her still-open travel bag and headed for the door. Amanda came right behind her, then rushed back in to get her own bag. As they hurried down the corridor together, Pancho glanced back over her shoulder and saw the blonde lugging his unconscious partner in the other direction, toward the hospital. Good girl, Ellie, she said. The crate had wrapped itself contentedly around Pancho's wrist. When they got to the spaceport tunnel, Dan Randolph was pacing angrily. Where the hell have you been? We're running late. I'll tell you all about it, boss, Pancho said as they climbed aboard the cart.
It's Martin, Amanda said, her voice low.
Humphreys? Asked Dan. He wants Mandy, and I think he knows we're trying to get out of here. What the hell happened? Dan demanded. Pancho told him as the automated cart rode down the tunnel to the spaceport.
Martin Humphreys sat at his desk, staring coldly at the frightened, worried face of the blonde security agent.
The man was sweating and nervously brushing at his mustache with a fingertip.